may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke 2. In my family, every year, we read the Christmas story. We did not do that today because I knew we would be doing it tonight. I'm going to bring you into rituals, too strong of a term, but just something my family does, and then I'm going to talk to you for a little while about it. Something that's very special to my family for us to read this. When the kids were little, sometimes we would read a few verses and then have one read a few verses and another one read a few verses, another one read a few verses, and we mixed it up. But every year, virtually, we have read Luke 2 together. And since church is my family, we're just going to read it together tonight. And I want to talk to you. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 1. I'll read aloud, you just follow silently. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's talk tonight just for a few moments. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to talk about that first Christmas day. That first Christmas was nothing like we know today. The only normal part of it was that Jesus was born in the middle of the night. Them puppies never come when they're supposed to come. Why in the world they ever come at 2 a.m? Keep mom and dad awake all night long just to be hatched, but they do. There was no Black Friday to announce his birth. There was no Cyber Monday to get the word out. There was not a six-week-long sale in every store to spend money and go in debt with so that everybody could know and buy a gift. There were no lights. There were no decorated trees. There were no parties. There were no family get-togethers. There was no special services at church. There was no canceling of church. There was no canceling of school or work because people's lives were just so busy. There were no carolers going up and down the streets singing. There were no cantatas or dramas to entertain with. There were no stockings hung by the fire and no Santa and no reindeer, because preacher shot them all. The night Jesus was born was a normal, quiet night. The only supernatural event of the night happened out in the fields outside of town. See, there were some shepherds out there watching the flocks. You don't watch sheep in town. They don't graze in downtown Martinsburg, especially with chlorine gas. Shepherds were lowly, humble men putting in the midnight shift. They were watching their flocks by night. And suddenly an angel came unto them, and in a bright light, out in the middle of a field. And I find it interesting. I think it's a little humorous to me. The Bible says that the angel came and the light shone, and the shepherds were sore afraid. Folks, if I was out there about 4:30 in the morning and a big light shone and some angel standing in front of me and I'm out deer hunting, let me tell you something, I've been sore afraid too. I probably unloaded a gun. I can understand being a little afraid. Most everybody in town was in bed. It was the middle of the night. Only these poor, lowly shepherds in the dark, quiet night had any idea what was taking place in Bethlehem. God's glory lit the area around about these shepherds, and the angel tells them that the Savior, the Christ child, has been born. Not only that, as soon as that is said, the Bible says that with the angel, a heavenly host. The word host there means innumerable. That means, for us rednecks, a whole lot of folk. More than you can count, all right? There was a heap of folk there that began to say, it does not say sing, it says say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I believe with all my heart that this was the heavenly host of angels. I'll show you why here in a moment. But suddenly, it goes dark again. The angels are gone. The light is gone. And there stand the shepherds looking at each other going, golly, what just happened? What was that? They begin to talk. And they said, I guess we better go find out if what just really happened happened. But if we talk too loud, they might take us to a certain floor at the hospital. But give me those I love me coats, you know, one of those that wraps around with padded rooms. They decided that they would go see. They, as they approached town, saw the star over a little barn, a little stable. They walked in the middle of the night. There sat Mary and Joseph. There was a baby lying in the manger. These humble shepherds got to be the first to visit the Christ child. Oh, they were so excited. They had read about it in the Old Testament. They knew someday it was coming. They didn't know that they were the ones that God was going to speak to. The Bible says that everything that the angels had told them had come true. They left there and went into town, and it didn't take long for word to get out. Must have been Baptists. Everything that they had said was true. And after a short time of spending with the couple, they go into town and tell everyone. That's the first Christmas. There were no gifts. For you see, the wise men had not gotten on the scene and won't for about another year, year and a half. They saw the star and did not leave the area of the east near China until then. They had a long journey ahead of them. The wise men, contrary to what the song says, weren't there that night. They did not come till much later. May I say this? There was no fanfare. There was no music. There was no hustle and bustle in the city about his birth. Just a young couple having a baby in a barn because there was no room for them in the hotel. Tonight I want to give you just a few thoughts, four, I think, maybe five, just four thoughts that I'll give you tonight, and I think will be a help and a blessing to you. Number one, God was happy about the birth of our Savior. You have to understand something. We read there in verse number 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for I, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Look in verse 11 or 13. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." All of heaven was happy, including God, about the birth of our Savior. You say, why? Everybody listen to this very carefully. Because sin separates man from God. Our sin keeps us separated from God, and we deserve hell because of our sin. But Jesus came, and he was coming to pay our sin debt to reunite God and man. Jesus promised this before the world began. Now watch this. Everybody that was saved in the Old Testament didn't die and go to heaven. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. It was in the heart of the earth. They were still separated from God. It wasn't until Jesus resurrected that they were set free. They set captivity free, and they went to heaven. Amen. Now watch this. God knew all those Old Testament saints he was finally going to get to be reunited with. We know that there are two Old Testament saints that are there that had never died. But they will come back during the tribulation. But other than that, it's just the angels and God in heaven. Up until that time. You see, God sent the angels to announce that heaven was happy about the birth of the Savior. All of the saved would be there. And God knew he was that much closer to the family coming home. And if you parents that have your kids or your grandkids that live far enough away not to be at home, you know what it's like when you get word they're coming home. And you can't wait for them to get there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You just can't wait till they get there. That's exactly how God felt for thousands of years. Not thousands of days, thousands of years. So God was happy about the birth of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Jesus was God. People doubted it then, just as they doubt it today, number two. First of all, God was happy, but second of all, people doubted it then, just as they doubt it today. Look at verse number 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherds. I want you to notice something. People doubted it when they lived back then. Don't you think 2,000 years later people are still going to doubt it? If they doubted it at the time that it happened, don't you think they're going to doubt it today? There are people that think that we're a bunch of nuts. Can I tell you something? They're the ones dying going to hell, not us. Right. I can see how someone not knowing the Bible would look at this story as the shepherds told, and they'd have a hard time believing it. You know, Brother Jimbo, if you came and told me that out in your field there was big light last night and an angel came and talked to you, you and I or Miss Loretta's going to have a talk about what medicines you've been on. No doubt about it. I can understand other than the fact that Scripture foretold it all. You see, man's sin in Genesis chapter 3 of wanting to be his own God causes man to want to pay his own sin debt to get to heaven. You have to understand something. Man sinned the same sin as Satan sinned. And Satan was guilty in Isaiah 14 of wanting to be God. Now listen to me very carefully. Listen to this statement. Religion is just that. Man's idea of what God may want me to do to get to heaven. Religion is man's idea of what man thinks God may want him to do to get to heaven. Did you know that religion goes against Scripture? Matter of fact, God says in Jude 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Gone in the way of Cain? Yes, Cain was Adam and Eve's son. He was guilty of the first murder of his brother Abel. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground as a sacrifice, and God said, Cain, you're not supposed to bring a plant sacrifice. You're supposed to bring a blood sacrifice. Matter of fact, God said, Cain, I don't respect you for that. He said, I have a blood sacrifice waiting to jump into your arms. Just open the door. It'll leap into your arms, and you can have, I'll even give you the lamb necessary. And Cain said, if you don't like what I have, too bad. In other words, God gave us the plan of salvation, but man brings religion in to do it his way. Man wants to dress somebody up and call him father, and he dresses like mama and call him el papa and say he can take my sins away and the church can absolve my sins. Let me tell you something, it's not in the scriptures. Jesus did not come to set up and be a pope. He came to be the savior of the world and resurrected as our high priest, put his blood on the mercy seat once and forever, never again to be needed. He fulfilled all of the Levitical law. That's why it's the church, not the temple. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not the temple. Temple worship was abolished. That's one of the reasons he got crucified. He said, I'll tear this temple down and raise it again in 3 days. They said it took us decades to build that. And you speak blasphemy. Well, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Guess what? Jesus proved him wrong because he resurrected on the third day. He resurrected the temple. But now the temple is the body of the believer. It is not a building. Jesus built the church, not the temple. Now listen to me very carefully here. Religion is man trying to pay his own sin debt. Christianity is letting Christ pay it for us. Let me ask you a question. If we could get to heaven on our own, why did Jesus have to come and be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, be crucified, and resurrect? If we could get there on our own merit, guess what? Jesus didn't need to be born in Bethlehem. Jesus didn't need to be born of a virgin. Jesus did not need to live 33 years to live our righteousness for us. He did not need to be crucified. He did not need to resurrect if we could do it on our own. It's not by joining a church. It's not by getting baptized. It's not by lighting candles or praying through beads and Mother Mary and whoever else, Saint Christopher and the Holy Cow and everything else. It doesn't matter what it is. And I'm not making fun of anybody. That's man's religion. Have you ever thought of how stupid religion really is? Folks, I've lit a whole lot of candles in my life, but it never got anybody to heaven. Matter of fact, a couple times I thought it was going to take me somewhere else. My daddy found out. I don't care how many beads you have that somebody prayed over, you're not going to get closer to God because you prayed some chant over and over and over and over. And Mary is not the mother of God. She was the vessel to birth the body of our Savior. Amen. Well, if we pray through Mary, that's Jesus' mother, and he'll have to listen to her. That is the Catholic doctrine. By the way, the virgin birth, according to the Catholic doctrine, if you looked it up, it's about Mary being born as a virgin, not Jesus. Just so you know. They believe Mary never died, that she was translated to heaven. They put her above Jesus. That's saint worship. That's people worship. I love my mama. But you can pray through my mama all you want, and it ain't going to help you at all. I can pray through your mama all you want. It's not going to help either one of us. Let me tell you. So, number one, God was happy about the birth of our Savior. Number two, people doubted it then just as they doubt it today. Number three, no other God or religious leader has ever been born of a virgin or resurrected from the dead, but Jesus did. Jesus did. I probably shouldn't say it, but just add it to the list of other things. Hollywood is the worst place to get your religion from. They are now portraying Jesus as a sodomite. The LGBTQ people, the alphabet soup people. Yeah. Can I tell you something? How can lost people teach you the Bible better than God's man?
Amen.
And I don't mean to be crude here, but we didn't shut church down. According to Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, God said, "Let us make man in our image. In the image of God created he him, male and female." I'm going to teach you something tonight that could revolutionize you. Look at me carefully. We'll use our Bibles in a moment. Jesus did not come to earth to become a man. He came to earth to put on flesh that could die. You see, Jesus in his heavenly body could not die because there was no sin in it. Watch this. According to John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I tell you something? That flesh was human flesh. That's why he was born of woman, but his blood was of God. The blood for a child is gone through the line of the father. Guess who Jesus' father was? And it wasn't Joseph. You see, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you something here. I'll just let God say it for us. Well, people in the Old Testament got saved by the law, preacher. Well, they didn't. Which law was that? Well, the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments were civil law. That was the Constitution. Had nothing to do with heaven. Well, it was the Levitical law, though. That was the law of the priest, pointing to Jesus. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. Look at verse number 1, Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, he hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, saved by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Can I tell you something? Abraham was about 1,000 years before Moses, before there ever was a quote-unquote law. Look at verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not to be not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The moment somebody gets saved, Jesus imputes his righteousness to our account. Amen. Not only is our sin wiped away, covered in the blood, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed or added to our account.
Amen. Praise God.
Look at verse number 21, same chapter. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Folks, Jesus came and paid the sin debt for us, but he had to put on a body that could die. He was not only born of a virgin, but he resurrected and conquered death, conquering the law of sin and death. Christmas is about Jesus putting on a body of flesh. Putting on, it's called the incarnation. That means this, robing in flesh. Putting on a robe of human flesh. Bethlehem's manger was Jesus giving God what God wanted most, man. Bethlehem's manger was about God getting back what God wanted most, man. See, Jesus didn't come and die for Satan. Jesus did not come and die for the angels that followed Satan. But he did die for you and for me. I don't care what God you talk about, whether it be Allah or Buddha or Muhammad or the Shinto gods or whatever. They're all man's idea. They're false gods because they're not virgin born and none of them resurrected from the dead.
Right.
Number four, and I'll finish. The only gift that first Christmas was the shepherds telling the story to others. They were giving to others the gift that was given to them, the story of the Savior. See, the shepherds got to see the Bible fulfilled looking at the face of the Christ child. They knew the Old Testament scriptures that he would be born in the city of David. They knew that he would be of the tribe of Judah. They knew approximately the season or the time because the wise men were looking for it. This caused the shepherds to want to tell the whole story. Can I tell you something? They left that little barn and went into town and told everybody they could tell. And 2,000 years later, I stand here and I'm still telling the same story. You say, why? Because it was the truth. A lie doesn't last that long. That's one whopper of a lie, let me tell you. You see, if the shepherds saw it and told it, how much more should we be telling the story? Amen. Let me ask you a question, and you need not answer out loud. Untold thousands of dollars were spent by the people in this room, accumulatively, for gifts. But I wonder if we told anybody about Jesus yet. Oh, we bought gifts for family. We bought gifts for friends. We got gifts for people at work and bosses and this person and that person. But did we tell anybody the story of Jesus? The first Christmas was in almost total obscurity. But the world has known the story for over 2,000 years. It's been being told. May I say something? It made religious and political leaders mad enough that when that child got to be 33 years old, they crucified him. It's going to make the politicians mad.
Amen.
It's going to make the religious people mad. It's okay. It's been happening for a long time. I'm not a religious leader. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, do you know for sure you're saved? If not, we can take care of that tonight. You could accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus gave to every man to restore man and God so God could get what God wanted. But second of all, how about we decide we're going to take that gift and give it to somebody. Let's give that gift to someone else. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. In the privacy of your own heart. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know, I won't embarrass you, but I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Virtually every hand. I don't know, but I would not call your name. I would not embarrass you. But you'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But, and by the way, I won't call your name. I will not embarrass you. But you say, preacher, by raising my hand, I don't know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in the story of Christmas, the Lord spoke to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores of hands. You may put them down.